This morning I'd like to consider with you the words of the epistle reading, especially the first verse in from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, that by these words and by your presence here among us, we may be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. A few years back, the Walgreens corporate offices mandated that whenever a customer left one of their Walgreens stores, the employees of that store must send them off with a cheery, "Be well." Be well, you were told when you walked out of the store. That policy is no longer in effect. I guess the employees complained that it seemed too mechanical, and the corporate offices figured there's better ways we can do customer relations. But while that policy lasted, it was a kind of a curious way of saying goodbye to a departing customer, because grammatically it takes the form of a command. Be well, they said. But if it was always within our power to heed that command and to be well, we wouldn't be visiting pharmacies now, would we? The whole reason we go to the pharmacy is because we can't always be well. We need to be made well by all the pills and the ointments and the tonics and the devices and the remedies and the prescriptions on the pharmacy shelves. And so it may seem curious in a similar kind of way that Paul would charge Timothy to be strengthened. But unlike the Walgreens employees who said, "Be well," and then left it at that, Paul does not leave it at that, because he knows that it is not within Timothy's power to be strengthened by himself. Timothy must be made strong from outside himself by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, Paul says. And that is God's word for you today too. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want to belabor the whole pharmacy analogy, but I do feel like I have to be careful here, because Jesus is not the great pharmacist. He is the great physician. And when Paul says, be strengthened by grace, I don't want you to think of grace as some sort of a medicine or a tonic that you need to go get at the Jesus pharmacy. Roman Catholic doctrine teaches that grace is like that. Grace is like a medicine. Grace is infused into us. Gratia infusa, they call it. Grace is like getting a steroid shot. And that grace is infused so that it will make you stronger to do what pleases God. But because that grace is now in you, it is also up to you to do what you're supposed to do and to please God by doing the good works that He requires. So it is still a form of works righteousness, but with a booster shot. But Paul clearly says that in this text, this grace is in Christ, not in you or me. Grace isn't a steroid shot. It is the attitude that God has in Himself toward you. Grace is simply that unmerited love that resides in the heart of God and is directed outward toward you through His Son. On account of Christ, who obeyed the law, who suffered its penalty for you, God now looks upon you in grace and is favorably disposed toward you. And here is the point: that this grace that is in Christ also has the power to strengthen us. We are like the man who had a really awful, horrible, rough week at work, had a hard time with his fellow employees. The work was grueling and hard. He feels like he wants to quit, like he's not appreciated at work. And he doesn't want to go back. But over the weekend, his wife talks with him, encourages him, pampers him a little bit, takes time for him, so that by Monday morning, her words, her presence, her love has strengthened him to go back into the battle, to go back to work. That love that strengthened him was not in him, it was in her. But he drew strength from that. Grace, the undeserved love of God, is not in us. It is in Christ. But it does strengthen us to know that God feels this way about us and that He cares this much about us. Timothy needs that kind of strengthening. As we heard in this text today, Paul, his friend, is suffering. We read in verse 9, Paul says, "I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal." And then later on in this same epistle, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Those are the words of a man who expects that his death sentence is going to be carried out very soon now. And you can imagine how that must have made Timothy feel. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. Paul was the one who laid ordaining hands upon Timothy when he became a pastor. Paul was the one with whom Timothy worked side by side in the ministry of the gospel in Ephesus. Paul's suffering is Timothy's suffering. Timothy can feel those chains that are binding Paul. And yet, says Paul, Timothy should expect even more than that. He says in verse 3, to Timothy, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Because Timothy shares in the ministry of the gospel, he should also expect to suffer for that gospel. Paul cannot sugarcoat this, not even for a young pastor like Timothy. To share in Christ's gospel is to share in suffering at the hands of a world who hates Christ. So Timothy needs to be strengthened. And so do you, brothers and sisters. So do I. Not because it's likely that we're going to go to jail for our faithfulness to the gospel, though we do not want to discount that possibility. We need to be strengthened not because you risk death for sharing the good news of Jesus with a co-worker, although I do not want to sugarcoat things and tell you that it could never happen to us. But we need to be strengthened by this grace that is in Christ, because without that strengthening, it would just be too easy for us to avoid suffering by trying to escape the hatred of this world. And the temptation to do that is very strong. And all the more so because, you know, think about it. You don't really have to forsake your faith to escape the hatred of this world. All you have to do to escape the world's hatred is to be quiet about your faith. Note this well. Paul is not in chains because of what he believes. He is in chains because of what he proclaims. And the world will not hate you for what you believe, so long as you keep it to yourself. But it's when your faith starts impacting the way you talk and the way you live and the way you make choices, that's when the world starts to have a problem with you. You might have noticed the shift in political discourse in our own nation about the subject of religious freedom. Whereas our Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion, and that means in all of our life, there are some politicians who have shifted the rhetoric to talk instead about only the freedom of worship. Because you see, no one minds if you worship. Worship who you want, when you want, where you want, as often as you want. But what they do mind is when you bring what you believe out of the worship service and into your public life, and you try to live by it, or talk about it, or influence others by it, that they mind, you will not be persecuted for what you believe, so long as you keep it to yourself. But of course, that's not an option, is it? Not for Paul, not for Timothy, and not for us. You do not light a lamp and hide it under a bushel, but you let it shine to give light to everyone who is in the house, Jesus says. If the Christian faith was just about you, if Christ died only for you, then fine, keep your light hidden under the bushel basket. But Paul teaches us that we need to let our light shine for the strengthening of others in their faith, even if that gets you in trouble with the world. Listen to what Paul says in verse 10. He says, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." For the sake of the elect. Paul needed to be strengthened in his faith for the sake of Timothy. Timothy needed to be strengthened in his faith for the sake of the congregation he pastored in Ephesus. I need to be strengthened in the faith for your sake. You need to be strengthened in your faith for the sake of your spouse, your child, your grandchild, your fellow Christians. And we all need to be strengthened in faith for the sake of the elect and for those who do not yet believe in Christ, that all of these may obtain the salvation that is in Christ with eternal glory. And if that exposes me to the hatred of this world, well, listen to what Paul says. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So then, you, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There was a boy. Unfortunately, it's too common of a story. A boy who was being bullied at school. He would come home at the end of the day crying, didn't want to go back to school, hated school because he was being picked on mercilessly by a few other kids. Night after night, dad and mom would console him. They would reassure him that he was loved, that he was valuable, that he was wanted, that he was precious. And they would give their son some tips on how to deal with the harassment. And they would assure him that they were always there for him. They would take up his cause. They would stand with him. And over time, by that continual encouragement in the presence of his parents, the boy was strengthened. And he gained more and more confidence in the face of his tormentors, because he knew that their acceptance and their approval meant nothing. What counted was the love of his family. Now you be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And if the world hates you, well, Jesus said, keep in mind it hated me first. After all, we are not in this for the approval or the acceptance of the world. What counts is the grace that is in Christ. And so Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And so we come here and we gather around the Word of God and we are reminded how our Lord loved us to the death, how he purchased us for God by his blood and paid the debt we owe, how he clothed us with his righteousness and made us fit for heaven just by faith in him. And in the remembrance of Easter and the grace that was sealed to us in the resurrection, we are strengthened. And then Paul says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. And so we come here and we gaze upon the baptismal font. And we celebrate a baptism once in a while, as we did this morning. And we remember that we have indeed already died with Christ in our baptism. As Paul said, you were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too may walk in a newness of life. There at the baptismal font, you were buried in a watery grave and raised with Christ unto salvation. And in the remembrance of our baptism, when that washing of grace was poured out upon us, we are strengthened. And then says Paul, if we endure, we will also reign with him. So we come forward and we kneel here at the communion rail to be with Christ in a close and blessed fellowship and to receive from his very own hand his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And we are nourished and then dismissed with these words, may this true body and blood of Jesus strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. And in that Holy Supper, the grace that is in Christ nourishes our spirits, and we are strengthened. Here, in the presence of Jesus in his church, we are strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Strengthened to let our light shine. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.